accession number 22620, Reel 2.
Harold Brooker, Reel 2. But had you not already known a lot about seamanship before you did your Royal Navy training at Gosport?
Yes. I learned a lot fishing as a decky learner. I learned how to tie knots and so forth.
So what extra things did the Navy teach you in addition to what you already knew?
How to steer a ship's motorboat. Gunnery. Torpedoes. Asdics. I did a course on Asdics. There was a submarine detector for so long. And I got abscess in this ear. And they kicked me out of the Asdic service and sent me down to Portsmouth to do a torpedoman's course.
Was the abscess anything to do with the work you were doing?
Yes, it was caused through dirty telephones. That's at least that's what the doctor put it down to.
How did all the boys get on with each other at Gosport when you were doing the basic training?
Oh, you were smashing. Smashing. Didn't fight or anything like that. You weren't allowed to anyway.
And after St Vincent, where did you go then?
RNB, the Royal Naval Ballast, Portsmouth. They used to call it Victory those days, but now it's called HMS Nelson.
What was it like in barracks?
It was a lot less strict than HMS St Vincent's Gosport. And from our Royal Naval Barracks, Portsmouth, I went on. The first ship was HMS Hood. And I was on Russian convoys on the Hood. And I was drafted, I was the last person to be drafted off HMS Hood before she sailed on that fateful journey. And I was drafted to HMS King George V.
Where did you find HMS Hood? Where did you join the ship?
In Portsmouth.
What impression did the ship make on you at first?
Oh, I was delighted, because she was a pride of the Royal Navy at the time.
What were conditions like aboard to live in and work in?
Very good. Very good.
What
when we was on Russian on the convoys, we used to be hauled up in the turrets from the time of leaving harbour to the time of getting back. In other words, we were stuck at our action stations the whole time we was at sea. And we used to send a couple of sailors out of the turret to go and bring the food back into the turret.
What was your action station in Hood?
I was a breech loader on the 5.25.
Whereabouts in the ship was that?
On the left-hand side, on the port side. And apparently there was short of a breech loader on HMS King George V. So I was a spare one. So it came over the tannoy. Harold Brooker reported to the RPO's office immediately. When I got there, this chief said to me, "Harold, you're on draft." So I says, "Where to?" He says, "KG5. So I said, "She's only anchored over there." He says, "Yes, I know." I says, "When?" He says, "Now." He says, "I'll give you 20 minutes to get your gear ready. I'll send someone to help you." And a drifter's coming alongside. be on it. And they gave me my sheet of papers, my draft, what you call a draft sheet. And I went to the sent a boy seaman to help me. He carried me hammock to the gangway. And I carried my kit bag. Those days we didn't have suitcases. We used to have a big kit bag. And a drifter came alongside. We used to use drifters for transportation in and around Scapa Flow. They took me across to the KG5. And back on Russian convoys again.
About how long had you been in Hood?
About 2 years.
Had you been in action with Hood?
Yes. Yes.
What do you remember about that?
Well, we went to the Falkland Islands and bombarded the fuel tanks there because the German U-boats used to refuel there. So we shelled a lot. And another action was we were anchored in a place called Mers El Kibir, near the port of Oran, in the Middle East. And when France capitulated to the Germans, we sent a signal to the admiral, the French admiral, in Oran. We will send two of our ships take charge of your fleet. And this French admiral would hear nothing of it. So we sent a Lieutenant Commander Holland by speedboat to see this admiral to try to change his mind. And he would not change his mind. So we gave him three more warnings and then we blasted them. And the action lasted 8 minutes. And we sunk the lot except one. And that was the Richelieu, a battleship. And she got away. And that was about it.
Could you see anything of it?
No, we was anchored 9 miles away from the port of Oran.
Did you open fire from your gun?
Yes. Yeah, we were 15-inch and 5.25s.
But from the gun you were manning?
Yes.
Was Hood hit or damaged whilst you were with her?
No.
Did it seem to be an efficient ship?
Very, yes.
Were you happy in the ship?
Yes. Yes.
Who were your particular friends in the ship?
One of the survivors, Bob Tillman. There was only three survivors. I knew them all. There's only one living now. That's Ted Briggs. And I was very, very friendly with a midshipman called Billy Dundas. And I was coxswain of the ship's mortarboat. I said, I have to pass their mess to get to the poop. The ship's mortarboat used to be tied up off a poop, off the quarterdeck. And that's why I had to pass the midshipman's mess. And Bob Tillman, a seaman, he was in the next mess to me. And we used to eat back-to-back sort of thing. And Ted Briggs, he was what you call a bunting tosser, a signalman. So, Ted Briggs is the only one living.
So how did you feel when you heard the news that Hood had been sunk?
Terrible. Terrible. Shocking. It was, to my mind, it was just a lucky hit.
Can you tell me about going to KG5, please?
In what way?
Did you like it as much as Hood?
Better.
Why was that?
Better. The the facilities was more modern. It was a far more modern ship to live in. I quickly made many friends, and I was given a good job.
What was that?
Cleaning a turret out. A gun turret.
Which turret?
The wire turret. That was the one on the quarter deck. Wire turret. Actually, I had two or three jobs.
Can you tell about the others?
I used to clean out the cook's mess. That was a nice little job. I had plenty of spare time on doing that job. Another job I had one time was cleaning the spotting tower out, climbing right up the rigging and cleaning the spotting tower out. You know, you used to get different kinds of jobs. Well, there was none of them hard.
What materials did you have for the cleaning?
On which job?
For the spotting tower.
Oh, cloths and brasso. You know, tin of brasso, cloths, and water.
Were you on KG-5 when it was in action?
Yes.
Can you tell me about those occasions, please?
When we finally came up to the Bismarck, we were firing it on all guns, and I was loading. I was on a 4.5, and I on the S1 turret, starboard one turret, and I could see the Bismarck being peppered by shells, not only from the KG-5, but from the Nelson and the Dorsetshire. And the Dorsetshire was fired the last torpedo into the Bismarck, and we watched this Bismarck sink. I could see through the spy hole in the turret. I've got two photos somewhere, I don't know where they are now. I've got two photos of the Bismarck being peppered with shells.
How did it affect you to see the Bismarck go down?
Oh, elated. Very elated. Because he'd just sunk my ex-ship.
Did you see any of the survivors in the sea?
No, I was too far away. We were too far away. But there weren't all that many. Of course, it was freezing cold.
How did you get on with the officers aboard ship in KG-5 and the Hood?
Very well. If one behaved themselves, you got on well with everyone. You know, there was no... how shall I put it? There was no bitterness between any one of us. We all had a job to do.
Did you think the Germans might win the war?
Yes, I did. At one point I did. But I think the turning point was when they finally stopped partially, mainly the U-boat menace. That's when the war turned.
What other actions were you in with KG-5?
None.
Was it a happy ship?
Yes, very happy.
Do you feel safe in it?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Because she was a far newer ship than HMS Hood.
Any other memories of being in KG-5?
Going into Algiers and Morocco. You know, doing the usual patrol work. We all used to do different jobs. Sometimes you got the job of a lookout on the bridge with a telescope, and sometimes it was all up in a turret, and you know, it's all depended.
Were you in the ship long?
3 years.
What happened to you after KG5?
I came home and got the mob. No. I came home and I was sent to Canada. I went to Canada on a cruise liner, the Andes, a brand new cruise liner. I went to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and from there to Toronto by train, a 3-day journey, believe it or not. And I was in lodgings in Toronto 6 weeks, and then I joined this fleet minesweeper called HMS True Love.
HMS what?
True Love. They got the name from an old whaling bark which used to sail out of the port of Hull. And its photo is in Town Docks Museum.
T-R-U-E?
T-R-U-E. L-O-V-E.
What was it like aboard this ship?
Well, she was like a glorified trawler. But it was quite a happy ship, and I had two or three good friends, Billy Horson, Lloyd Lane, Bob Atkinson, you know, smashing, probably.
Where did you join this ship?
Toronto, Canada.
What were conditions like aboard ship?
Quite good there, quite good. When we left Toronto, We came back up the River St. Lawrence. Of course, those days there wasn't a seaway then. You had to come back up the River St. Lawrence. And we stopped at a place called Sydney. Montreal, Quebec, Halifax, St. John's. St. John's was where we picked up a floating dry dock to escort to the Azores. And when we got to the Azores, to a place called Ponta Delgado, there was a German U-boat tied up on the other side of the jetty. So we slipped ropes during the night and went round to the corner to another place called Horta Faial. And we remained in Horta Faial for 12 days. And when the U-boat went, we slipped ropes and came home. And then we came home and went to Granton, Scotland.
Was it a very seaworthy ship?
Very, very.
How did it compare with the trawlers you've been in?
About the same seaworthiness. She was a good sea ship.
What kind of jobs were you given in the ship?
I was a sort of electrician, torpedo man. In other words, electrician. Actually, I was recategorised to electrical mechanic first class, whereas it used to be called a torpedo man before.
So what armament did this ship have?
One 4-inch gun and a couple of boppers, Swedish boppers, which we used to sink the mines with. As we cut the mines, we used to sink them with bopper gun fire.
Did you do that?
We did practically every job on the mine sweeping deck.
Was it dangerous being in a minesweep?
Oh, yeah. One of the most dangerous jobs in the Navy. In fact, the most dangerous.
Did you have any mishaps?
Yes, we got a near miss. And it put one of our propellers out of action. So we linked to Haifa in what is called Israel now, Palestine those days. And we went in a floating dock and got repaired.
So this was a mine going up, was it?
Yes, and a magnetic mine going up about 8 foot away from the stern of the ship. And it shattered the starboard propeller.
How had it got so close?
Well, these magnetic mines, you cut them, and they come to the surface that quick. I can't enlighten you any more on that. It's just that they used to come to the surface that quick.
Was anybody injured?
No, fortunately not.
Any other mishaps to the ship?
No, not really. Our flotilla, which was the fifth minesweeping flotilla, we swept a channel through the Bosphorus for the HMS Cleopatra to go through safely. Because Churchill and Roosevelt were on board the Cleopatra on the way to Yalta. And unfortunately, we had a ship sunk from our flotilla. And that left five of us. There were 16, six, number 16 in the flotilla. And that left five of us with one short. And from there, we went to Istanbul.
Did you go ashore?
Yes.
What was it like?
Went to that famous market in Istanbul.
Which market is there?
Oh, the covered market. They sell everything. All kinds of things. From carpets to needles.
How did you get on with the Turks?
Quite good. We was in there for 3 or 4 days, and then we left there. We went back to Greece. We were all around Greece. All around the islands, Lemnos, Chios, Mudros, Patras, Kavala, all over the place.
What was the state of the Greek population in 1945?
Well, they were short of food. They were short of everything. We used to have bum boats come when we was anchored off these islands. We used to have what we call bum boats rowing up, begging for food and whatever.
Did they get anything?
Yes, we used to be as generous as we possibly could.
What type of things would you give them?
Bread, cakes, tins of corned beef.
Did they seem grateful?
Very grateful.
Any other memories from being in True Love?
Yes. the officer's cook, he used to get us drunk as hell. And in the end, he got 10 days jail in Malta because he couldn't finish an officer's meal one day. And the chief steward had to finish it off. His name was Sid Rebel. And We had a smashing skipper. Smashing captain.
Why was he so good?
Oh, he used to mix with us. He was a real nice chap. Real nice.
What was he called?
His surname was Von Ruck. Nothing to do with Germans. That was just his name, Von Ruck. Jim Von Ruck. He was a smashing fella.
Were there any other old men in the crew?
Yes. One called George Whitty. And, what do I call him? Yeah. Arthur Cortes. Two besides me.
Did the war finish when you were in this ship?
Yes. Yes. I came out of the Royal Navy. I left the Trulub, HMS Trulub, in October 1946. So I did slightly over my time.
So then you were demobbed?
Yes.
Where were you demobbed?
Stockheath Camp, Bedhampton, just outside Portsmouth. And actually, my sister and brother-in-law went to live in a new house right on this site where I was demobbed from.
What was the demob procedure?
Measured up for a demob suit. Socks, shoes. That was about it.
Did you get money?
No. Not until after I'd been out of the Navy for quite some time. And then I got £90 war gratuity.
How did you feel about that?
A bit disgruntled, really. Because for what we did, it wasn't very much.
What did you do with the £90?
Give her it.
You up to your wife?
It.
How do you feel now about having served in the Navy in the war?
I'm glad I did. Real pleased I did. I did what you can say, I did my bit.
Which did you prefer, small ships or big ships?
A small ship.
Why?
Better comradeship.
Why do you think that was?
Well, there weren't so many of you on a small ship. Whereas a big ship, there was far too many of you. The complement of the King George V was around about 1,400 or 1,500 men. Whereas the complement on HMS Trulub was about 60.
Did you have a rank when you finished?
No, just, acting leading torpedoman.
So you went back to trawling when you got demobbed?
Yes. I couldn't get a job when I came out. So I thought, well, the best thing I can do is to go back fishing.
How did you go about it?
Just went on the fish dock to the offices and got a ship, just like that.
Which ship did you get?
A ship called the Josina, one of Mars.
Were they good to work for?
Yes, very good. And I did one ship in this Josina, and then when I left there, I went in a ship called Murella. I was in several ships in Mars. The last ship I did in Mars was on a ship called the Benel.
What was trawling like after the war as compared with before the war?
Easier.
Why?
It was still hard, but it was easier.
Why was it easier?
Before the war, you used to work until you dropped. There was no such thing as watches before the war, or after the war, they started working watches. Regular watch below, and, you know.
What length of watches would you have after the war?
18 on and 6 off.
Why do you think it had changed?
Pardon?
Why do you think it had changed?
Well, it was more modern. The fleet was more modern. Because before the war, there was some old...